Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, we welcome you back. Today we're going to be on part two of our series called Strapped, looking at finances and what the Bible has to say about money. So last week we looked at that we do not serve money, but we serve God. Okay? And the verse we looked at several different verses, but the one verse we looked at was Proverbs 22:7, which says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender." So, we looked at that term, servant. It means to be in bondage to be a slave to. And just how in America, in our culture, it has become normal to be enslaved or to be a servant to debt. And so we looked at that we are not to serve money. That is not what God has called us to do. We are to serve God. And so money serves us as we serve God. So that was kind of the big idea last week. This week I'd like us to look a little bit deeper and how we can live within our means. It used to be that if you didn't have money, you could not buy. In other words, if you didn't have the money in hand, there was no way for a person to get a loan or to get the money to buy. Before the Great Depression, 2% of homes were purchased through debt. 40 years later, only 2% of homes are purchased without debt. And so you can see just in a matter of 40 years, things have flip-flopped. And what fuels this is that people think that they deserve the same lifestyle as their parents. And so young adults, they get married, and they think normal is having the nice car, the nice house, and being in debt. And so it fuels this idea that I should have the same lifestyle as my parents, and to be in debt is normal. To be strapped is normal. Proverbs 13:7 says, "One man pretends to be rich, yet has nothing." Yet has nothing. And so let's look at the biblical values that can help us live within our means. You know, we can look at people and we can look at the nice clothes that they're wearing, the nice car that they're driving, the nice house that they're living in, and we think, wow, they must really be doing well. Well, maybe they are. But maybe they are just in a lot of debt. And they're given the perception of being rich, of being wealthy. And yet, if you were to look at their balance sheet, maybe they really have nothing. The bank owns it all. So, what are some biblical values that can help us live within our means? First of all, embrace the value of self-control. Embrace the value of self-control. Self-control is a biblical value, and it is something that can serve us well in many aspects of life, not just in the area of money, but in all aspects of life. It helps us to keep our emotions in check. Self-control does. We know that anger is an emotion that God placed within each and every one of us, but anger, when it is out of control, can be very destructive and very hurtful. And so we need self-control. Okay? All of our emotions need that balance, that temperance that comes through self-control. If we were to sit down at a meal, we need self-control. If we are going to the store to go shopping, we need self-control. Now, just looking at different age groups, kids and teenagers, their philosophy on buying and having things is I want it now. They don't know the concept of delayed gratification. In other words, waiting till I've saved up the money to buy something. Their mentality is I want it now. I don't care if I have to go in debt, finance it, whatever the case may be, I want it now. Women can nickel and dime a person to death, all right? And so a woman will say, wow, I got this on sale. Just think about how much I saved. Well, you probably did get things on sale, but the bottom line is you spent money, right? On a lot of different things. You buy the outfit, and then you have to get the pair of shoes or the belt to go with it. And you get them on sale, but you maybe still spend money that you didn't have. Men, it's your turn to pick on you. We don't tend to buy a lot of smaller things. What we tend to do is buy big things. So the wife may be going out there getting a lot of smaller things on sale and hurting the budget, but the man might come home one day and say, hey, guess what? I just bought a new boat. It's only $30,000, and the payments aren't that bad. It won't affect our budget that much. But I just bought a new boat, a new pickup, a new car, a new timeshare. And so we all have our tendencies. And the biblical value that we want to embrace is the one of self-control. Do we really need women to get our nails done every week? Every other week. Men, do you need to play golf twice a week or more? Do we really need that cup of caffeine every day at Starbucks or wherever? You can call it $5, right? If you were to get a $5 coffee every day of the month, you're looking at $150 a month. That's a lot of money that could be used in your budget someplace else. Does your 12-year-old really need an iPhone, or could they, for those first few years, settle for a dumb phone, as we would call it, until maybe they're able to maybe finance their own phone? Do I really need a brand new car that'll depreciate 20% after I drive it off the lot? Do we really need cable? Do we really need some of the other things that we've considered normal and that we have to have to survive? And a lot of times it's no. We don't need those things. We want them. But we don't have to have them. Once a person is out of debt, you have more freedom to say yes to things. But still, self-control serves us well. It is a principle that can help guide us for the rest of our life. But once we're out of debt, it does free us up to say yes to more things. Amy's grandma, we called her Oma, but she was lived in Germany at the time when Hitler was in power. She was Jewish, along with her family. She was able to get out of Germany while there was still that freedom to do so. But shortly after, the borders and the exits were closed off, and she lost family members in the concentration camps, gas chambers. But she was able to come to America, met a young fellow in the same situation as she was. They soon married. They ended up settling in Houston, Texas. Were servants at first in homes. She later became an accountant in department store, a very good department store. Her husband, Amy's grandpa, at one point was selling vacuum cleaners door to door. The thing is, they didn't have high-paying jobs, and yet, in their lifetime, they were able to save money, and when Oma retired, she had a a decent amount in retirement so that she could retire comfortably. And it was often Oma that would help out with family vacations and would help to underwrite some of that. And yet even in her older age, she was still frugal. She still practiced self-control. But she was able to say yes to some things that she felt were important. Now, even though she didn't have high-paying jobs, she was able to take the money that she had. She practiced self-control. And at the retirement age, she was able to retire comfortably because she practiced self-control and she invested her money wisely, and it served her well later in life. It served her. She did not serve it. And Dave Ramsey says, if you learn to say no for a little while, you'll be able to say yes for the rest of your life. If you live like no one else for a time, you'll be able to live like no one else. In other words, if you practice self-control, you work hard to get out of debt, then you'll be able to be debt-free and live within that freedom if you develop self-control and embrace that biblical value. Secondly, embrace the value of sacrifice. Hebrews 12:2 talks about Jesus, that let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and suffering for our benefit, because he saw the prize that was before him. What was that prize? It was our salvation. And so Jesus was willing to be obedient unto the Father, even unto death, even the death of the cross, because he saw the prize, which was our salvation. My salvation, your salvation. He was willing to sacrifice because of the prize that awaited before him. What are you willing to sacrifice to achieve something better? Sacrifice is giving up something that we love for something we love even more. Are you willing to give up cable television to have a debt-free Christmas? I was just talking to somebody here this week, and they said, they were talking to a loan officer, and they said, well, loans were up this past year, especially in December. And guess what was fueling that need? It was people taking out loans through the bank for Christmas, to buy Christmas gifts. That's incredible. So we're not taking out loans for a car or for a house. We're taking out loans so that we can have gifts for Christmas. Are we willing to live in a smaller house for a time in a season, so that maybe one can stay, maybe one of the parents can stay home with the kids? As a college student, are you willing to have a roommate so that you can graduate with no debt, no student loans? Are you willing to give up lunch, going out to lunch at work? It is said, just so if you do some number crunchings, that you can save $112,000 if you brown bag it instead of going out to lunch at work. So what is the real cost for the debt? If we were to say we were to take a trip to Disney or home theater or do some upgrades for a house, $14,000, $517. $14,517. Say we were to have that much debt, put it on a credit card. If you pay the minimum payments of $217.93 per month at 18% interest, because you're not paying it off that month, it'll take you 40 years to pay off that total debt, totaling $104,606.40. If you were instead to invest that $14,000 at 12% for over 40 years, it would equal $1,350,820. If you were to invest that same amount and add the $217 per month at 12% interest over 40 years, you'd have $3.5 million. It's amazing how interest can be our friend or can be our enemy. It depends on if we're going into debt or if we are investing. Embrace the value of sacrifice. It will serve you well. Self-control and sacrifice. The last one is embrace the value of planning. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Luke 14:28. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of a diligent man lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty." You can wander into debt, but you won't wander out of it. You have to have a plan. You have to have a plan. And so, Dave Ramsey recommends several steps to get there. We're going to cover two baby steps that you can take. The first is to put $1,000 away for emergencies. $1,000. Now, you may say, "Hey, I don't have $1,000. Well, you need to find it. How am I going to find it? Well, you may have to get a second job for a time of the season to get that $1,000. You may have something of value in your home that you're not using a lot. And so you sell that to get that $1,000. We were, after we took this class, the Dave Ramsey course, we were doing some remodeling. And we didn't have the $1,000 emergency plan, I believe, in place at that point. And so we sold a camper that we were only using once or twice a year. We sold a camper. It gave us the money we needed to have that emergency fund, but also to do some remodeling without going into debt. Without going into debt. Get that $1,000 emergency fund, because things are going to happen, right? Your car will break down. And it's not uncommon if you take your car, your vehicle, to the shop, it's going to be a couple $100s usually, the minimum. Anywhere from a couple hundred up to $600, $800, could be up to a couple $2,500. And so Dave Ramsey says, first of all, get that $1,000 set aside and then work towards getting 3 to 6 months' income saved up as an emergency plan. Why would we need that much? Well, what if one of you loses a job and you need some time to find another job? Well, it sometimes takes a while to find that right job. And sometimes, you know, you can get fired, but a lot of times in our culture, it's been very common for people to lose their job because the company is making cuts. And you could be caught in the middle of that. And what are you going to do? You have to have a backup plan. And you have to have money set aside that is just for that purpose, for emergencies. So that is the first step. The second step is to do the debt snowball. All right? If you're paying off debt, and a lot of debt is set up over 120 months, 10 years. And if you can pay off, if you do the debt snowball, which is taking $200 extra a month, finding somehow to do $200, and you to begin applying it to the smallest debt that you have. Say you have $450 at Lowe's, and you're making the minimum payment of $50, but you up that to paying $250, so in 2 months you have that debt taken care of. So now that frees up $250, the $200 that you found to put towards extra debt and the $50 that you were paying to Lowe's. So now you take that $250 and you apply that to your next debt, okay, and say that is like $650 to target. All right, so now you're paying the $250 a month plus the $60 a month you were paying there. So that gives you a total of $310 a month you're able to apply towards that bill. So in a couple months you have that bill, that debt taken care of and crossed out. Now you can take that $310 and apply it to the next debt that you are making minimum payments on. And before long, you're freeing up a lot of money that you had that you were paying towards debt. And then if you can take that money that you were using to pay off debt and apply it towards investing, that money can grow. It can grow for you. And the figures I have say you were paying like $1,000, $1,100 a month towards the debt snowball. And if you apply that, you can actually change from paying 120 months to get that debt taken care of. You can actually take care of that debt in 21 months. 99 months difference. And then if you were to take that money that you were putting to take care of debt and invest it at 8% over 99 months, that'd be $153,000 you would have put away, almost $154,000. That's pretty incredible. Another way to do it is to say you want to buy a car. And instead of going out there and getting into more debt, if you were to take $480, $500 a month, that's about what the average car payment is, and invest that, save that for 10 months to a year, you would have $5,000 to $6,000 that you could put towards a used car. Now, I won't buy you a new car, but for that money, you can buy a decent used car that will last you for a while. And you won't be paying interest and you won't be in debt. Here's a good principle. For items under $100, pray for one day. So shirt, pair of jeans, purchases under $100, pray for one day. Purchases between $100 and $1,000, pray for a week. Buy that iPhone or maybe a PC computer. Pray for a week. For items over $1,000, pray for it over a month. And what that period does is it allows you to really assess, is it something I really need or is it something I want? Is it something that I have to have right now or is it something I can live without? It helps us to practice sacrifice and self-control and to make a decision that's not based on emotion but is based on what is prudent and what is wise. We don't serve money, but we serve God. And money will serve us as we serve God. As we embrace self-control, sacrifice, and planning, we will live within our means. And once debt-free, a person has the freedom to say yes to more things and give more generously than we've ever been able to give because we're not in debt. We can do the things of God more freely. The Bible speaks to all aspects of life, but if we embrace biblical values in the area of finances, it will affect our body, our soul, and our spirit. And I hope we can all be debt-free in time, but there is one debt that we can never pay, and that is the debt of our sin. No matter what I do, no matter how hard I work, no matter how much money I have, I can never pay the debt of my own sin. Scripture is very clear that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that is why God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our salvation. Because there's nothing that we could do. Our debt was too big for us to handle it on our own. And so God the Father sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to cancel our debt. He took our punishment, our debt, upon himself so that we could know eternal life. And if you leave with nothing else this morning, I pray that you leave with this promise that you can be debt-free before God and that you can know him as your Lord and your Savior. You can leave here with your sins forgiven and your debt forgiven. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Saying, Dear God, come into my heart and into my life. Forgive me of my sin and my transgressions. Forgive me of the debt that I could not pay. Be my Lord and my Savior, and guide me this day, I pray. Amen. Musicians, if you would come.